This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the treacherous voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. I wonder what word you were going to go for there. Treacherous, I'll go with that.
Horrendous conditions at the weekend, up and down the country. It was awful. It was windy. It was treacherous.
Treacherous. I wondered if you were going to go for blustery, if you were going to go for... What other words could we use to describe the weekend? Because it was horrific. In fact, I'll go with that, horrific. But then if you'd have called me the horrific voice of goalkeeping, I probably wouldn't have been too happy. But yep, I felt for goalkeepers up and down the land. Obviously watched a lot of games this weekend. And yeah, I just remember playing in those conditions. And again, I know I'm not the only goalkeeper to do this, where like building up to a game, you'll be looking at the weather reports. You know, it's lovely when you're stepping out there and it's a nice crisp day. The sun's out, but the sun's high, so it's not necessarily getting involved in anything that's going on. There's no wind, you know, it's quite slick surface, like the dream conditions. And it couldn't have been anything further from that this weekend.
No, it was funny when I was looking at the fixtures, when it's this type of weather, you kind of think it's going to go one of two ways. You think either loads of goals are going to be scored or there's not many goals that are going to be scored. It's never somewhere in the middle. And to be fair, in the Premier League, the Championship and League One, it wasn't too different. But League Two certainly felt the elements, I think. So there was, 11 goals in the game on Saturday. A few postponements in there too, but just 11 goals. And then the one game last night, which was 1-1 between Port Vale and Crewe. 13 in total. Not many.
Not many. Well, you often find that because it kills a game. You know, it's so difficult for teams to actually play. So what does often happen is that a goalkeeper will have less to do on a day like that. But the bit that always got me was, especially when it's blowing from like one end to the other, you know, it's, again, I don't know what is best, whether it's one end to the other, where you kind of know that if you've got the wind with you, you're probably not touching the ball that much that half. And similarly, when you've got the wind against you, a lot of balls running out for goal kicks, which, taking a goal kick in that weather, I mean, seen a couple of good examples. One in particular, Harry Burgoyne, I have to mention this, because he's absolutely nailed a goal kick against the wind. And you can see it. It's great camera work, actually, because you can see it. It looks like it's going to go about 70 yards. And all of a sudden, when it's up in the air, it just stops and changes direction and comes back towards him. So many examples of that. But the bit that I actually really disliked was, it was when the wind was going with you, but then a shot would come against, because they are so hard to read. They're just moving all over the place. At least when the wind's against you, you can read it that little bit more. Of course, it's coming with more power and your reactions need to be very good, but at least you can read where the ball's going. There's nothing worse than when it feels like it's coming towards you in slow motion and it's moving everywhere and you go to put your hands on it and it just moves and it just sort of misses your hands and goes into the back of the net really slowly. Nothing worse for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, a few of those as well from crosses that come in. Sometimes you just happen to lose it in the air. Now, with the league clubs, there is a small element of protection from stands, I suppose, from the wind and the rain and the bluster. But in non-league, it's slightly different, isn't it? And there are... We're going to start with a couple of examples. We normally do these at the end, but because we're in the conversation, we're going to mention them now. So firstly, it's Oliver Sutton, who I did not know was Chris Sutton's son. Apparently Chris Sutton's son is a goalkeeper. I didn't know this. 28 years old now, plays for Wroxham in the Isthmian League North. They were playing Grays Athletic at the weekend. Apparently he was being taunted all game because he was Chris Sutton's son, with a chance of Shearer. So he's gone and wellied one in. They've won 5-2 against Grays. He's wellied one in right at the end. I say wellied. He's lofted one in from his own box. It's caught the wind and somehow gone over the Grays goalkeeper. And then in the Southern Prem as well, Gloucester versus Walton and Hersham, the Gloucester goalkeeper, Jared Thompson, just 4 minutes in, has collected a back pass and, yeah, unfortunately, belted it into his own net.
Yeah, well, do you know, when I saw one, I think the actual caption below this is like, have you ever seen this before or something like this before? And I actually have, where if you can picture it, it's your worst nightmare, really, in the, especially when it's that windy, where you've opened up, but you're, let's say you're to the left-hand side of your goal, you've opened up with your right foot and you have to drill a pass across the box to the right back. And of course, he's gone to do that. And again, I've got no doubt the wind will have played a bit of a factor. It's come off the outside of the foot and it is just arrowed into the top corner. And I feel like I've seen this exact goal when I was young. And it was actually from a goal kick. Same thing. He was on the left-hand side. He was trying to fire it over to the right back, opened up, sliced it, wind's taken it, and it's just arrowed into the top corner. But I mean, it's just one of those. It's one of those things. You know, you do it anywhere in any other situation, then yeah, it doesn't look great if you kind of slice it and it goes out for a throw-in. But of course, if you're doing it across the box like that, I did feel for him.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, we shall start in the Premier League, and perhaps the biggest talking point of the weekend, or at least the most scrutiny of the weekend on a goalkeeper, Alex McCarthy was making his 150th Premier League appearance for Southampton at St Mary's. It was Southampton 2, Liverpool 3. Now, I would say he pretty much did all the essentials well in this game. However, there was one key error, and I'm going to say one, not two, as some of the pundits might have you believe, for the first goal that I don't personally think was an error. I actually think that they've misread the situation completely, but the equaliser from Mo Salah. So it was a long ball flighted over the top. McCarthy has just slightly misjudged it. Salah has stolen in to equalise, and there were a couple of moments after that. Two, a good save from a header and then a cross that he has missed, which again prompted the pundits to suggest that he was all over the place. He wasn't. I thought on the whole, he had a good game. What did you make, Richard, of his performance?
Yeah, I watched this game and you know what? Just before the first goal went in, and you know, I was watching, made probably four or five like good saves, you know, really solid. Handling was excellent. And I thought, I'd actually even said to myself, like, he looks like he's really on it today, you know. And they, the first one, it just frustrates me really because, as you say, the pundits obviously giving him a lot of stick, but it is the way that they're being directed to play. Now, whether you agree with it or not, it is what he's being told to do. You know, he's seen the guy at the edge of the box. Of course, if the guy takes a half-decent touch, they break the press and they're out. He doesn't. And even then, he still manages to get the ball back to the defender, who then slashes at the ball. Of course, it falls to the feet of the lad who whips it in from the corner of the box. So I felt for him on the first because I think that he's just doing that purely from the direction that he's been given. It's not necessarily the way that Alex McCarthy has played all these years. You know, top goalkeeper had a, you know, top career. And ordinarily, you know, he hasn't had to play this style of football, but he's following direction. On the whole, I thought, you know, in terms of his playing out, I thought he was fine. And this is just one of those situations where he's effectively done what he's told. And it's ended up in the net. And of course, the pundits have got on his case because of it. And the second one, like you say, it is one that he'll hold his hands up. Again, we spoke about it at the start of the show, the conditions. The bit that I do question is, obviously, did the ball hold up? Because you make that decision in a split second. Ball's coming through. You have the question in your mind, is it going to come all the way through to me? He obviously felt in that moment that it would. The other bit to consider is the fact that Mo Salah is really, really quick. You know, you look how quick he is off the mark. And literally, he's got there. And this is where it's unfortunate for McCarthy in that it is an excellent finish, but at the same time, that can go anywhere. You know, if it's a, we're talking a split second. If it's half a yard further, Mo Salah doesn't get there and it goes through to Alex McCarthy and it's not a talking point at all. And you consider it good goalkeeping for reading the game well. But, you know, it's just one of them. Mo Salah's absolutely sprinting. He's stretching. He gets a foot to it and it's a perfect connection to take it into the back of the net. So I do feel for him in that the actual size of the error isn't a massive error in my opinion. But of course, it never looks great when you're 15, 16 yards from goal on the angle. The guy's got there before you. The ball's ended up in the net and it's that horrible feeling knowing that you've misjudged it. But I go back to it. I do wonder, and it's the bit we won't really know. You can't really see on the screen, you know, did the ball hold up that tiny little bit, which is where the misjudgments come from.
Interesting. I hadn't even considered that, to be fair, that the ball had held up. I don't know. It didn't look like it held up, no?
No, but again, how can you tell? You know, it's one of them, like the amount of times that I face shots, and I'm sure goalkeepers will appreciate and relate to this, where you face a shot and you can see that it's moving, you know, and whether you make the save or the ball goes in, you might then say to someone it's moving and they'll be like, oh, they watch it back on the screen and they're like, oh, there's no movement on that. And you're like, well, you can't see it from my perspective. So it's so tough to see just on the screen, watching the flight of the ball, whether it has held up or not. And you know, my gut says the fact that, again, it's something that Alex McCarthy, on the whole, I'd say is very good at in terms of reading the game, the experience that he's got. I think in that moment, he's very confident that Mo Salah's not going to get there. Otherwise, of course, he holds his position and expects it to be a one-on-one or a shot from the angle. But the fact that he's made the decision to come, he must have been so confident in that moment that Mo Salah wasn't getting there, which is, again, why I asked the question as to whether it did hold up. And the other part that could play something in this, and that, of course, he hasn't had loads of game time recently. This is something that, you know, the more that you start to play and you get into a bit of a rhythm, is these kinds of situations which you can't replicate in training. So there might be an element of that as well. But yeah, it's certainly a very uncharacteristic misjudgment from Alex McCarthy, which does make me think whether there might have been something else.
So at the other end, Southampton were awarded a penalty in the first half. They weren't awarded a penalty in the second half for a challenge from Quevin Kelleher on Adam Armstrong. Pen or no pen?
Pen or no pen. It's actually quite a difficult one, if I'm honest, because it's a bit of a strange situation in that essentially Kelleher doesn't get the ball. And that's the bit that I think the foul in the end was given against Armstrong, wasn't it? Which I don't quite understand why that was either. But look, I think it's one of them where Kelleher's come out, and in that moment, I'm assuming he's thinking that there is going to be a shot. So he's spreading to an extent. It's a, like I said, it's a very strange technique that he comes out with. And it looks a bit clumsy in the end because he doesn't actually get the ball. Armstrong goes over him. There's bits that's going on with, bits that are going on with the players beforehand as well. So it's just all a bit of a mess. I could certainly understand if it was given why it would be given for the fact that Kelleher doesn't get it and he does tumble over him. But yeah, this is one actually I'm going to sit on the fence. I actually can't make my mind up on this. I did watch it at the time and I didn't really think much of it because they just sort of brushed over it, said, oh, the foul's gone the other way, and they just played on. They didn't really go back to it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to sit on the fence, Richard. That's an absolute stonewaller. That's a penalty. You just said it there. You know, Keller has come out. He's not got the ball. No, he's not, because he's cleaned out Adam Armstrong. That is a penalty, and they did just completely brush over it. No one's mentioned it since, I don't think. It was just missed and disregarded. Southampton should have had a penalty, a second penalty of the game. That was a foul.
Yeah, I think we can probably agree. We're both sort of sat on the fence on this one. So, do you know what?
It's funny, isn't it? The ones that they like to pick up on and the ones that they just conveniently ignore.
Well, yeah, and I watched the game at the time, and it's funny, the more I've watched it since you sent it through, like I say, I didn't think much of it at the time. And it was because, again, this is where the media, they can point you in a certain direction. And that happened here, really, where it was a bit like, oh, the foul's been given against Armstrong. So again, without really thinking about it, I just assumed something had happened in the build-up. But you watch the build-up, not a great deal has happened. There's a bit of a tangle and whatever else. But I put myself in Kelleher's shoes. The bit that is just a bit strange to me is that he didn't get the ball. There was that Sanchez situation, wasn't there, a couple of weeks ago we spoke about, where the commentators weren't particularly pleasant to Sanchez, but, you know, it was awkward, but he did get the ball. And they showed the replay, and you could see he clearly got the ball, hence why the penalty was overturned at the time. I guess the difference here is that Kelleher, from what we can see from the angle, he hasn't got anything on the ball. And that's the bit that's a bit strange, because, yeah, you kind of felt in that moment, even if it ends up in a big tangle, Kelleher would get something on the ball, and that kind of clears things up.
I think you could see in his reaction as well that he thought himself, Kelleher, that it was going to be a penalty. Alas, it was not. Over to Goodison Park, Everton 0, Brentford 0. A couple of moments in this one. The first, Mark Flecken from Idrissa Gueye, a deflected effort. Really good save, this.
Yeah, top save. And this is one where the thing I like about this is that he doesn't react to the initial ball. I just think his movement's excellent and very much ready for both scenarios. So if there isn't the deflection, then he's ready for that. But the moment there's a deflection, because he hasn't committed, the speed at which he's able to get down to his left to make the save, I thought was excellent. And there was also a top save at the other end as well. Really enjoyed Pickford's technique on the one-on-one, where, again, he hasn't come too far down the line. He's probably about 12 yards off his line, but just holds his position really nicely, makes himself so tough to beat, moves his feet very quick in order to make the save. Again, I just thought the decision-making with this particular situation was very good.
Speaking of Pickford and the red card handed out to Christian Norgaard. So Pickford did say after the game, I don't think he meant it, and he's spoken to me after the game. It just is what it is. What's your take on that? A red card or not a red card?
No, I do think he's unfortunate. You know, and credit for Pickford for coming out and saying that, because I think it's one of those situations. There's a lot of very dangerous situations that can happen like that. When a ball's coming across, players are throwing themselves in there, goalkeepers are throwing themselves in there, and you often see some bad injuries that happen because of it. Because, of course, as an outfield player, you're taught just to throw everything towards it. As a goalkeeper, you're often, it's one of the most dangerous and risky things that you can do as a goalkeeper. Is you imagine that ball that's fired across the 6-yard box, and effectively you're having to dive headfirst out to try and make the block on the cross, and you've got players literally throwing themselves in, boots first, studs first. You do see a lot of injuries. It is what it is. It's not a great deal that can happen. I do think in this situation it is just one of them where he hasn't necessarily meant to go with his foot up. It is just a case of trying to get something on the ball to score a goal, you know. And it's just very unfortunate that Pickford is as brave as he is for him in that situation, where Pickford gets himself across, gets himself in the mix, does enough for the ball to go around the post. And of course, when you freeze frame it and you see his studs on his knee in the way that it ends up happening, it's never going to look good. But I don't think there was any real intent there. And similarly, you know, I think Pickford, as much as it would have hurt him in the moment, he would have known that as well. So for me, it would be a yellow, but, you know, I appreciate the rules of the games, and you freeze frame at that moment, then of course they're going to say red.
Over to Villa Park, Aston Villa 2, Crystal Palace 2. Some top stopping in this one. Dean Henderson, a really good save down low to his right from Ollie Watkins. Liked his reaction to that one. Also made a save from a penalty from Yuri Tielemans. Palace took the lead shortly after that, and it was good to see Henderson celebrating wildly with the Palace fans as a result of his involvement in that equaliser. Sorry, in them taking the lead. And they could have won the game, Palace, but a brilliant save from Emi Martinez from Jeffrey Schlupp late in the second half.
Yeah, three top saves to talk about here. I thought the two from Henderson, the one down to his right, just a beautiful save. You know, that one where he's moving ever so slightly to his left naturally because of the movement of the ball. And when it's struck down to his right, that arc that he has as he goes down to his right and the power, and it just sticks to the glove. You know, it's such a nice save. Again, it'd make a great photo if they get a picture of the moment that he actually makes contact with the ball, and for it to stick to the glove like that. I thought this was a brilliant save. And similarly, the penalty, I thought excellent save, powerful to his left, timed the dive well, certainly with VAR now and, you know, any chance that you're off your line. But I thought you actually do the freeze frame. He timed it perfectly, still having his trailing foot on the line, and still managed to gain a couple of yards, gain a bit of ground with the dive, which I think is so key with saving a penalty. I thought it was a great save. And as you say, Martinez very much equal to what Henderson did. I thought this was a superb save. This beats most goalkeepers. It's flying in the corner, going at pace and fingertips, and ultimately that was the difference between a point and not.
And finally, we'll have two save of the weekend contenders in the Premier League. Firstly, Andre Onana from Liam Delap in the game between Ipswich and Manchester United that ended one apiece. And secondly, from Guglielmo Vicario, who is now set for a period on the sidelines. Played from 60 minutes onwards or something, or played 60 minutes with a broken ankle in that game, which is, I think that's a point we should probably discuss. But it was Man City 0, Tottenham 4, of course, a mad result that one. Five saves in total for Vicario. It would have been six had the Savinho header not been offside, but we're going to mention it anyway because it was a phenomenal stop.
Yeah, top performance. And as you say, with the news coming out that he'd actually broke a bone in his foot, it's an interesting one. I mean, I'll touch on that for the fact that, again, there'll be a lot of goalkeepers listening in that have maybe played games where they've got an injury in the game and they've managed to finish the game. And it's, for me, I think when you're in that zone, and you could see that he was really dialed in for this one, when the adrenaline kicks in and you are just on it, it's amazing how something like that can, you either don't feel it or you just get through it. You know, and I think a lot of credit to him in that you could tell he was dialed in. Like you say, some of the saves that he's made, excellent save with his foot, a couple of brilliant reaction saves on the angle. It wasn't a 4-0 scoreline. You know, I know City are getting a lot of stick at the moment and they're on a very, very bad run, but I think it's safe to say this wasn't a 4-0 scoreline on your average day, but a lot of that was because of Vicario.
Celebration of the weekend as well, I think, after the save from Haaland, where he just repeatedly kept throwing that fist out.
Do you know what? We're seeing it more and more, and I love it. I love the fact that, you know, this weekend in particular, there was five or six examples that I've seen where goalkeepers are now celebrating, and it's becoming okay. You know, as I say, it just didn't happen back in my day. And in hindsight, I wish it did. You know, it was almost the opposite. You make a save and you get up and you act really cool. And, you know, you're very much back into the game in that moment. Whereas now goalkeepers, it is our moment. You know, it's so rare that you make that big save in the big moment. So why not enjoy it? Of course, you then have to focus very quickly because you're often facing a corner or facing the next phase of play. But I love the fact that goalkeepers play with that kind of passion. And it's certainly something with Vicario. He's got it in abundance.
Just quickly before we finish, to go back to that injury for Vicario. It's going to be an interesting period now for Spurs because Vicario, as we know, has been the outright number one for Spurs since he joined the club at the beginning of last season. They've got Fraser Forster there as an experienced two. They've got Brandon Austin, who's now been in the game a long time but hasn't made a competitive outing for Spurs. He's the number three. They've got a lot of games coming up over the course of the next few months. They're still in all the cup competitions and, the busy festive period as well that Vicario is not going to be available for. So it'll be interesting to see how they manage this one.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of games. I'm really curious to see how it plays out. Certainly, obviously, Fraser Forster is very much the second choice there, so no doubt he will play in the upcoming games, but you have got the European games. Brandon Austin essentially played the whole of pre-season for them, did very, very well. I know they've rate him incredibly highly. England under 21 international previously, and he's been unfortunate in that he's always been in and around it, and Spurs have absolutely love him as a goalkeeper and they've always seen him as a future number one, but that's also killed his loan journey a little bit. He's not been able to get out and get the kind of games at League Two, League One, Championship level. But look, you know, we talked about Kelleher and how it's played out for him, and essentially he got his chance straight away in the Liverpool first team. We could see a very similar story here, whether that's, I'm sure at some point Brandon Austin will get a game, if not more than that, over the next couple of months while Vicario is out, and maybe it will be a similar story to Kelleher.
It is the EFL overview starting in the Championship, where we shall begin with a series of saves made in injury time to either save a point or win three. This was a theme of the weekend. So first up, Lucas Jensen. Millwall were 1-0 down to Sunderland. He then prevents a one-on-one from squirming underneath him through his legs. Millwall go up the other end and equalise. That's 8 unbeaten now for the Lions. There were two very similar saves onto far posts at Loftus Road, Paul Nardi and Victor Johansson. So it was one apiece at the time between QPR and Stoke. Nardi's made an excellent stop from Tom Cannon. That was around 80 minutes. And then Johansson has made an excellent and equally similar stop from Alfie Lloyd in the 90th minute. It ended 1-1. And then Thomas Kaminski dangling a leg to see Casey Palmer's deflected effort, another deflected effort over the bar. That was in the 91st minute to bag a huge win for Luton against Hull, 1-0 at Kenilworth Road. And finally, just to mention Sol Brin, he made an EFL debut, not his EFL debut. Obviously, he's had plenty of loan spells and got plenty of professional minutes. But for Middlesbrough, his club, they won 6-2 away at Oxford, and he made his first league appearance for the club.
Yeah, well, I'll start with Sol Brin because I actually watched this game and I thought he was really impressive on the day. Several big saves. And do you know what was quite nice was that every time he made a save, it was his teammates. You know, the fact that they then come over and, patting him on the back. And I love that. You don't always see it. And I think that's like the sign of a really good environment where a goalkeeper's coming in. And again, a lot of us have been there when you're making that first game for a new club. Obviously, for him, it is his club. But, his first appearance for Middlesbrough in the Championship, like, that's a big moment. And actually to have the support of your teammates means so much to a young goalkeeper. And I really enjoyed that. And he did play very, very well on the day. And it was nice to see them all surrounding him every time he had a big moment in the game. I thought it was very, very good. And the saves that you mentioned, Jensen, excellent save this, because it's one of the most awkward ones when it's that one-on-one and they put it so central. And of course, you're setting at least shoulder width apart, if not wider. So the flexibility that he shows here and the power to actually get down, I've watched this a few times and can't help but feel that if I tried to do that now, I'd be staying on the floor. I'd be crumpled in a heap. But he, really good flexibility to almost get a knee down to then make the save. Really quick movement. Thought the save from Nardi was phenomenal. top save this. I think positionally he's perfect. The speed at which he gets down to his right. This is Arrow in right in the bottom corner with pace. Thought this was an excellent save. Johansson really enjoyed this save. It was quite unorthodox. Again, positionally very good. The thing I liked about this, it's to his left. As I say, when you watch him go down, it does look a little bit unorthodox. But the thing that he does, which is so key, is that he keeps his weight forward. And I think it's quite difficult sometimes when you're moving. Naturally, you might be on your heels a bit. And if he is on his heels at all, he might get the dive away, but the angle of the dive won't be forward, and this does end up in the back of the net. But what he does really well, and it's probably why it looks unorthodox, is that he is able to keep his weight forward and just get that hand to it to get it around the post. Very good save. And Kaminsky, as you mentioned, very difficult this when it's coming through bodies, takes a deflection. And it's just being a bit creative in that moment just to get a body part on it and to get it away from danger. Very good reactions. Top save.
Into League One, where there was another injury time intervention. This one from Jacob Chapman of Huddersfield, enjoying a really good run in the side, is the Australian at the moment with Lee Nichols injured. They beat Charlton 2-1. It could have been 2-2 had Chapman not reacted quickly to a free kick taken in the 96th minute. So the Huddersfield defence had momentarily switched off, and he had to time this right, Chapman. I think this is a really, really good piece of goalkeeping. Brilliant interception, which meant that Huddersfield bagged the points. Joel Pereira did make a decent stop in the 97th minute for Reading as they won 2-1 at Peterborough. But it was the save earlier in the game for me that was more impressive. So he's cut out a cross and then leapt at the feet of Ricky J. Jones. It meant that Reading went in at the break 2-up. And yeah, a really brave piece of goalkeeping from Pereira here. Jojo Wallacott back from injury for Crawley. A clean sheet and a win over Rotherham. Battled the elements, as did pretty much every goalkeeper, as we've already said, in the EFL. And a couple of good stops in either half. So he read the flight of the ball well for the second one of those. It was one of those classic in-swinging free kicks that was swirling in the wind. Really big save here from Wallacott. George Wickens, an eventful afternoon for Lincoln. So he made a penalty save from Luke Leahy of Wickham. Really good save that. But then completely took out Gareth McCleary late in the second half when he was clean through. Quite unorthodox here. Wickens seemed to go in head first and got a booking for his troubles. And then Spawny goal of the week was at the Pirelli Stadium. So it was the opener for Stockport in a 3-0 win over Burton. Lewis Bates was the scorer for Stockport. But yeah, horrible goal to concede. Max Crocombe done by his defence.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing that Max could do on this. Ball comes out, he comes to collect, and as you say, it's a bit of a coming together of several players, and I think it was one of his own players that ends up just essentially moving it to the side and making it a very simple finish. But certainly a few things to talk about in League One this weekend. You mentioned Chapman, same as you, really enjoyed this moment because you could see the team had switched off. The referee allowed him to play the quick free kick. It's a nice pass to effectively make it a one-on-one, but the speed at which Chapman, he's tuned in, he's seen the pass. If he doesn't go the split second that he sees the pass, he either won't get there or he gives away a penalty. And it's one of those where diving out, hands first, you have to make the ball, otherwise it will be a penalty, potential sending off and everything else that could come with it. In fact, it wouldn't be a sending off, would it, because of the whole double jeopardy thing. But no, but certainly it was very, very good goalkeeping, read the game well, and that late in the game, very, very important. Really enjoyed this from Joel Pereira. My notes are exactly the same as what you've just said. You know, the fact that he cuts out the cross, but it's more for me the second action, the bravery to get up and just throw yourself again into the situation. Two really top saves here. Jojo Wallacott, top save to his left. One of those horrible balls that's whipped in. And again, you can't commit too early because there could be a header. Like we spoke about the one earlier from Flecken with the deflection where you're having to wait. But at the same time, make sure that you get there if it is going to creep into the far post. Wickens, excellent penalty save. Very, very good. Dives, manages to, again, I use that word creative in order to get a foot on the ball and get the ball to safety. And I actually weirdly liked the booking that he got for the fact that, you know, you hear it a lot, and again the conditions weren't great, so I've got no doubt that this will have played a part in the fact that he didn't quite get there. But it was just that once he's made his decision to come, he didn't change his mind and he came all the way. And again, I'll use that word bravery, you know, literally dived in head first to try and head the ball. The guy gets there before him and he ends up taking him out. But you know, you could see that his intentions were genuine. Trying to get ahead to the ball if he could. Unfortunately, the guys got there just before. And as often you see it in the same in which we were talking about Kelleher earlier, it can end up looking a little bit ungainly. And often the receiving player can end up in a heap on the floor.
And finally, in League Two, three more key injury time saves. So Matt Macy winning 3 points for Colchester at Grimsby. He denied Justin Abiquiu on 93 minutes. Ryan Boot also winning 3 points for Chesterfield. He kept out Dom Telford late on in their win over Barrow. And Teddy Sharman-Lowe with the pick of all three for me. So maintaining a point for Doncaster at Carlisle in the 97th minute. That was an excellent save from a Sam Lavelle header. And there were a few top tips over as well. One last night, actually, from Connor Ripley in that draw between Port Vale and Crewe. One from Gabe Breeze, from Kyle Hurst in that game between Doncaster and Carlisle. Man of the match for Breeze. That's three games on the bounce now for him. Two clean sheets and no defeats. Nick Townsend with a couple of good ones as Newport held Notts County at Meadow Lane. Tommy Simpkin dealing with all sorts under his bar at Plough Lane. AFC Wimbledon chucked pretty much everything at Walsall in an attempt to bag that equaliser. And a good tip over from Simkin to keep out James Tilley in the second half. That's Saddlers with 3 points off the top spot with a game in hand. And Paul Farman, two very good saves for Barrow in that aforementioned defeat to Chesterfield. He's now back from injury. And I think if these conditions at the weekend suited anyone, it was Farman for the lengthy kick that he has, regardless of whether it's windy or not. Nearly bagged an assist too. I think that one was actually against the wind. Long ball over the top, but Andy Dallas hitting the post. And we mentioned Harry Burgoyne at the top there in terms of the conditions, but it is worth mentioning the very last touch of the game was a high claim from Burgoyne in that win, a big win for Morecambe away at Swindon. And as you said about teammates letting Sol Brin know about it, they certainly let Burgoyne know about it.
Yeah, really pleased for him. He's got a bit of an opportunity at the moment, and certainly it's gone very well for him so far. And it was an excellent claim at the very end, and nothing quite like it for a goalkeeper. It's essentially the last kick of the game, and you know, final whistle goes, and your teammates, you know, to take the pressure off in that moment, and for that to effectively claim the victory. Lovely feeling for him, and a big win for them. A couple of others that you mentioned, I thought the save from Gabe Breeze was excellent. Really good footwork, top hand, top corner. He's had a really impressive few games for Carlisle, certainly someone to keep a bit of an eye on. Paul Farman, you mentioned, really good save, a couple of really good saves, fingertip over the bar. The kick in particular, and I guess this is it, when you've got a goalkeeper that can launch it and you have got the win with you, very close to bagging an assist in this one. I think the ball comes off the post, doesn't it, in the end. But you must have hit it 70, 80 yards comfortably. An unbelievable strike. Teddy Sharman-Lowe, I really enjoyed this save for the fact that his footwork prior, the ball's been crossed in and it was just that quick shift back, probably a couple of steps to give himself a little bit more reaction time. As he's set, his weight is very much forwards. The speed at which he gets down to his right next to the post. Thought this was an excellent save. Clean Sheet Club. And it seems the baton has been handed back to me. It is time for this. Yes, it's Clean Sheet Club. We start in the Premier League. David Raya, more than 2 months in waiting. Jordan Pickford, 4-6. Mark Flecken on the board. Guillermo Vicario, City Slayer. Lucas Fabianski, back-to-back. Into the Championship, only two to speak of. James Trafford, hat-trick. Thomas Kaminski, Kenny for his thoughts. Into League One, Murphy Cooper, oh so cool. Josh Keighley, oh so orient. Sam Tickle, never in a pickle. Ben Hinchliffe, 100%. Jojo Wallacott, back with a blank. Josh Griffiths, Gashead. Lee Burge, stalemate City. Vicente Reyes, 0-9 to 4-5. Callum Burton, gone fora. Into League Two, Joe Day, hip hip hooray. Matt Macy, is that Joe Hart? Alex Bass, marvellous magpie. Nick Townsend, stalemate City, Mark II. Tommy Simpkin, Stoke bloke. Gabe Breeze, name of the weekend. Teddy Sharman-Lowe, feeling Sharman high. And Ryan Boot, don't shoot.
Excellent work, Richard. Excellent work. The baton has been handed over and shall remain that way, hopefully, from now until the end of the season. Would you like a table?
I would love the table.
So we have four goalkeepers on 9 clean sheets. At the bottom of that pile is Ian Melier with 9 in 16. And then you have James Trafford and Joe Whitworth with 9 in 15. And still top of the pile is Michael Cooper with 9 in 14. But I think that is one new entry in Joe Whitworth. Maybe James Trafford as well. But I think, yeah, Joe Whitworth is definitely a new entry.
Great stuff. Still plenty of football to play, but they've certainly given themselves a great chance of securing the trophy or the non-trophy this year.
They have. And plenty of football to be played tonight, actually. There's a few games in the Championship and League One, I think. Maybe one in League Two as well. But yes, it never stops, Richard. The fun shall continue into the busy festive period.
Indeed. And I'm sure we'll be back next week. Plenty to cover.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Wait.